Welcome to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast, where we're building freedom-based businesses in the print-on-demand industry. Broadcasting to you from around the world, here are your hosts, Spencer and Shannon.
Hey everybody, if you're enjoying our show and you want to check out exactly how Shannon and I are growing our own online businesses, head on over to our Patreon page and sign up for our monthly income reports. Break down everything from our sales to our expenses, what's working, what isn't, and any new strategies we're trying out as well. And if you're curious how we're managing to keep thousands of designs organized and uploaded across different platforms, you can check out Shannon's Merch Along software for free. Links below in the show description. All right, let's go ahead and get into the show. Welcome, welcome to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast, back to back to back, episode 18. I'm Spencer. Today we've got my esteemed co-host with me.
Shannon, nice to meet you guys. Thanks for joining in. And who's joining us today, Spencer?
We have an awesome guest. I'm really excited to talk to Greg Priest of Start Starting Up. Greg, how you doing?
Hey guys, everyone. Yeah, I'm really good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. Where are you coming to us from right now?
I am streaming from Leeds in the United Kingdom. So about three quarters of the way up the country, north of England.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. How's the weather right now?
It's good. It's been a nice day. It's 20 to 7 in the evening. So I think we got about an hour or so left of sunshine. But it's been a really nice day today. I can't complain. In England, we get about 6 weeks of summer, and we're in the middle of that at the moment, so it's the only time to sort of be happy about the weather.
Nice. So when you're not, we'll get into e-commerce and everything, but when you're not working in e-commerce, are you spending time outside? What do you like to do?
So I like to do things like keep myself a bit like active and fit, so cycling, swimming. I'm a bit swamped down at the moment. I'm doing a lot of different things at once, as well as e-commerce. I'm a part-time master's student at university, got a one-day-a-week job, so I've got quite a few commitments on the, you know, in addition to e-commerce I'm sort of juggling. So when I get the free time to do stuff, I just like to get outside, socialize, and do some sports, the same things everyone else normally does.
Cool, man, you got a lot on your plate. Let's get into it then.
Yeah.
Cool. So talking about, well, we'll just start with e-commerce. You know, what's your background in there? And how did you get started, and what brought you to more of a print-on-demand focus lately?
Cool. Yeah. So I kind of jumped into it. So I don't know if you know any history of my channel, but I started my YouTube channel about 2 years ago. I just left my 9-to-5 marketing job in London. I was working in the career ladder. Got really disillusioned with just like the working environment. I needed a clean break. So I jumped on a plane and I moved to Canada and decided to do some traveling in Canada. And then I thought fresh start, you know, fresh lifestyle. I'm going to try exploring a different way of approaching making money and working. So I made the YouTube channel as kind of a blog alongside this new sort of direction my life was going. And it started off just me trying to find alternative ways of making money any way I could find. So I didn't really have a clear idea what I was going to do at that point in time. I tried a few things, and some things worked better than others. And it just sort of slowly got tuned in more and more to e-commerce and print on demand. And now I had my 2 year anniversary of the channel last week. I've been doing it for 2 years now. And I think I'm pretty relatively experienced in it. I've been doing it for about 2 years, and hoping to do it the rest of my life.
I would say congratulations, man. Your channel, and we'll point people towards it and tell them where to find you at the end. But I love your branding and how consistent your episodes are. You've got the color scheme down; it's clear. As soon as I saw that, oh man, we need to try that ourselves. So well done on that.
No problem. Yeah, I've got a bit of a background in design and marketing, so those are the things I sort of nailed straight away. I sort of knew how important they were. Got those down.
Yeah, that was good. And then when you were in Canada, did you spend time in the cities, or did you go kind of check out some national parks and stuff too?
Yeah. So I was in Canada for about 13 months. I think I spent a year of that in British Columbia. So I was living in Vancouver for about 6 months. Then I moved over to Vancouver Island, Victoria, which is the capital of British Columbia. I was there for a few months. Then I did a whole ski season in Whistler. So I lived there for 6 months. Man. Yeah, it was amazing. And I was doing all of this e-commerce YouTube stuff in addition at the same time as all this. And then I finished off in Vancouver, hopped down to Oregon to see a friend. And then I caught the train over from Portland to Chicago, spent a few days in Chicago. Then I went on the train again to New York City and then up to Toronto, where I finished my trip in Toronto. I spent another month in Toronto after that. So it was amazing. It was such a good experience. I loved it.
Wow. So you got into e-commerce then, and that what kind of e-commerce did you get into, and like how did that turn into the Merch by Amazon business that you're
Yeah. So like I said, I started all this completely from scratch. I'd never worked in like an e-commerce job before. And basically the majority of my learning was through YouTube. I used it as it's my main learning platform. And I'm sure you're probably all aware of the huge hype Shopify has had on YouTube in the last couple of years. It's recently come out, there's been a lot of scammers in that space, but I kind of got into this lifestyle at the very sort of inception of that, like Shopify hype on YouTube. So I kind of got, starry-eyed, sort of dragged into that and way of thinking I was going to make thousands of pounds from day one, you know, like all these gurus were saying, kids. So Shopify was definitely my first step into e-commerce. And through playing around with that, I did a few different variations of store. So an AliExpress dropshipping store, a Printful t-shirt on demand store, a store sourcing products more from the US. And from different trial and errors and testing, I kind of realized that the t-shirt route kind of was working best for me for my previous attempts. That was kind of how I got the love for t-shirts. I moved away from Shopify eventually because I realized there was a huge barrier for entry, needing to do external advertising on Facebook ads and then all of that sort of stuff. And I was a traveler, I was a backpacker, so I was running on a really low budget at the time. So I moved away from that, and then heard about Merch by Amazon, you know, free access, free entry to the program. All you've got to do is upload your designs. And then that's when I moved really into Merch by Amazon and pursued like the t-shirt route. I don't know anything about you. How long have you been doing Merch by Amazon and print on demand yourselves?
Spencer and I got in end of, let's see here, 2016, November 2016. I think I applied in October and got in, and then I just threw up a few designs, and then boom, started making sales. And then I was like, Spencer, let's take a break from the affiliate marketing stuff and just really got to get into this, man. So then he applied, and the next thing, you know, a year and a half later, we're both on the 4K tier. Hopefully, I think we'll both be tiered up soon. I think, right?
If I can get my design act together and get some uploads up, then absolutely. But yeah, Shannon dragged me through. Like, I was always curious about it, but he sparked my curiosity for learning how to build a website. We had a bunch of like different business ventures that were just little experiments that slowly guided. And then he said, dude, you need to get your butt on Merch by Amazon.
Yeah.
That's like the gateway drug for print on demand. So thank for that.
Yeah. So what tier are you on, and when did you get accepted into the program?
Well, just hearing about your sort of application process and your turnaround time, I was hugely jealous hearing that. I actually applied, one of my YouTube subscribers suggested Amazon Merch to me. It was back in, must have been like August 2016, I want to say. So I applied around August, October 2016. It took me 13 months to get applied onto the program.
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to pour out my drink for you right now. I'm just going to spill it on the floor. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So I've been on Amazon Merch since December 2017, but I applied 13 months before. I've never heard anyone else take as long as me to get applied to get accepted onto the program.
Yeah, that's insane.
So in the meantime, you were building brands on Shopify, or did you try some other print on demand sites? Because I know some people like will go on Seller Central, because you can still sell on Amazon technically. What were you doing until then?
I mean, in the meantime, I was still going through my Shopify phase anyway. Okay. So to be honest, I kind of applied on a whim. I didn't really know much about Amazon, but someone had suggested it. I applied, and then I forgot about it the next week. So it wasn't like I was sitting wailing, you know, anxiously to get applied by it. I was kind of heavily invested in Shopify affiliate marketing, like you guys mentioned before. So it was kind of a surprise when I got that email in December. But yeah, I wouldn't say I was sitting around procrastinating doing nothing. I was definitely exploring other options. And the t-shirt, the Printful Shopify t-shirt store, was something I made in that time that I was waiting for the application to be accepted and merged by Amazon.
So do you have a, so now that you're on, I've noticed that you've been kind of documenting your journey, right, with different episodes. Yeah. And I think you're on month four? You just put a video
Of making money. I've just left month four and I'm in month five now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through that journey and like what you've seen from growing from tier 10 on?
Sure thing. Yeah. Like I said, I kind of forgotten all about Merch by Amazon by the time I got accepted. So, you know, I got accepted and I already had some t-shirt designs lying around from that previous Shopify store that I'd knocked up in the past. So I thought, you know, I've been given a place. I've waited 13 months for it. I may as well put some t-shirts up and see if there's anything here. So I think I just threw up, like, I could do one t-shirt a day in that first tier. So I just spent 6 days adding a new shirt every day. Did six shirts. And I pretty much left it for like 3 or 4 weeks. Like I said, it wasn't on my foot, the front of my mind for that whole year and a half. So I did it and just left it. And then something went off in my mind. Oh, you put some t-shirts on a merch for Amazon like last month. Maybe log in and check it and see if they've sold or see if any activities happens. And I logged in like a month later and I'd sold two shirts. And I mean, you know, those aren't huge numbers, but I didn't do any, like, I didn't know anything about keyword research within Amazon at that point in time. I didn't do any targeting. I just literally uploaded some old designs I had before, typed in some random unresearched descriptions and left it. You know, and having this huge, like this experience in e-commerce, I knew that getting traffic is like the hardest thing really in succeeding in the e-commerce space. And the fact that I'd got two sales from basically doing nothing and like taking no research, doing no research, I was like, there's definitely something here. I need to put like focus some more time on Amazon, learn the platform, learn about what sells, what's hot, the trends, and really sort of apply some time into that. I've learned that since I started using Merch by Amazon in January, a lot of things have changed with the platform. Like I only sold four shirts before I got upgraded to tier 25. But I think in the past you had to sell 25 shirts you had to sell 10 shirts to get out of tier 10, 25 to get out of tier 25. But I think I was quite lucky that by the time I got accepted, those thresholds had really come down. So I kind of just started like plowing through the tiers. I got out of tier 100 2 weeks ago. I've just hit tier 500.
Nice.
My focus now is learning about bulk uploading, designing en masse, and just sort of getting through those, like taking advantage of that new sort of upload limit I've got every day. Yeah, but it's been really exciting. And I found the platform super easy to learn. I think it's probably because I have background experience, but just to learn and to make sales, I think if you know what you're doing, you know a bit about SEO and keyword research, anyone can really sort of get into it and sort of learn the ropes.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations on getting to tier 500. I found that step is the first one that really advanced what I was making on the platform from something that was beer money to something that was going to cover a couple bills a month. And then now you can start to think about taking advantage of different products, right? If you have a best-selling design, now it's going to be up to you to say, am I going to do that on hoodies or sweatshirts and all that? So props to you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, really cool. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, so you're growing it, you're giving updates on it, you've got the Shopify background, and now merch is this new revenue stream for you. Are you still in the phase where you're exploring, figuring out different PODs you want to get your designs on, or do you have a goal with merch that you just want to just hammer merch and grow that account as the main source? How are you approaching it, and do you have a goal in mind now?
Yeah, so something I've learned from being on this journey for the last 2 years is I know a lot about shiny object syndrome now, you know, and you can start one thing, get drawn in someone else. And I definitely did that when I first started all this stuff. So really what I'm doing now is I'm just thinking about Amazon merch. Like I'm trying not to think about all the other PODs and where I can scale to and stuff at this point in time. I just really want to nail this platform, learn it inside out, you know, really look back at my previous sales, what worked, what didn't, you know, and use them as tests and really sort of work out a formula that I'm going to follow on Merch by Amazon moving forwards. And when I feel like I've done that, you know, and I sort of know what I'm doing inside out on merch, then I'll start looking at other print-on-demand platforms and stuff. But for the time being, merch has got my, well, in the print-on-demand world, merch has got my sort of focus for the time being.
That makes sense. Yeah, you don't, you know, you only have so much time during the day. So it's like figuring out that one platform where you know you can make a good return on your time is very good, smart, intelligent way to approach it, sounds like.
Are you both only on Merch by Amazon yourselves, or are you using other platforms?
We're on, I'm on Merch by Amazon and TeePublic, and I got kicked off of Redbubble because...
You were a pioneer.
That's right, I was a pioneer. It was like one of the first outside platforms I tried selling on, and I didn't realize that you couldn't make, you know, lightsaber shirts or like, but even though we were doing our own designs, you can't put Darth Vader on a shirt and sell it on Redbubble. You know, you just can't. After arguing with them for so long, they finally were just like, we're done with you. So, but anyway, I'm on Threadless and Spreadshirt and Shopify. We have our own store, eBay, Etsy, and
Okay.
I'm sure we have, and some others. So, but we try to, I try to focus mainly on Merch by Amazon, Etsy, and I guess eBay, and Seller Central, of course, too.
Yeah.
Using like T-Launch as my third party integration fulfillment company. Yeah. Spencer?
Yeah, it's similar. So the majority of my income is from Merch by Amazon right now. My goal is to diversify that. And I would love to meet my income goals with that being like a third of my income or less. But right now, merch is easily scalable, and I really don't have any excuses not to be filling slots at the tier I'm at. It's almost taking it for granted, and I'm sure some of our listeners are frustrated to hear that I'm not even filling those, because it is a privilege to have right now. But merch is number one for me. I liked what Bree said in our earlier episode about that being a bit of a testing lab where I try a lot of niches in there. And then based on what sells, I'm a big evangelist, I guess, lately of Etsy as a place to build a brand. So I have two stores on there. And I think if we continue to have a good month, we might see like $500 in profit from Etsy if our first sales of the month weren't just super lucky. So I really want to grow that platform to be a significant chunk of it. And then I do see the other print-on-demand platforms as just the biggest one for me is probably Redbubble. They have good traffic. And then a little bit on TeePublic and such. Those are the main ones. And then another, I guess the only other pillar I'm trying is to reach out to influencers and offering merch as a service and taking a royalty from those kind of deals. So that's the way it's structured for me right now.
Okay. Yeah, I completely agree with the concept of using merch as a testing ground, and then, you know, finding niches and finding things that hot and doing offshoots onto different on-demand platforms. I think that's going to be my strategy when I eventually do venture off, is finding these niches that do well and selecting those to scale out.
It's hard to build a brand. That's one thing I've learned through just starting this journey. I think I got on merch in April last year. When you just scatter designs out there, especially scaled designs, like I'll do stuff with US states, I'll do stuff a lot of locations because those are personal to people and not trademarked. And those are that's the formula, right? It's like I try to toe that line, but it's not a brand, right? What am I going to say my brand is there? It's each brand is just like keyword optimized for that one specific listing. It's not defensible. It's just kind of an opportunistic way to get some cash flow. But I think, you know, with your experience in Shopify, what you've probably had to see when you were driving your own traffic is that's really difficult. But people who are successful at that build a real competitive advantage.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, there's so much to consider when, when thinking about building a brand, like not just the niche. When choosing a niche, it's not just whether that niche has a large audience, it's whether that audience are the type of people that are going to be spending money, you know, so they're earners. It's the type of people who have a strong sense of personal identity, so they want to express that through their clothing. There's so much to consider, and I think you only sort of learn the bigger picture when you've been in this space for a while. So yeah, definitely. It's like you said, it's not as easy as a lot of people make out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We are still trying to figure it out. it's challenging for sure. But would you be willing to talk about your workflow process and what you are you doing most of your designing, or do you have a designer helping you or a team set up, or how does that look, or how does that work for you?
Yeah. So like I said, I've had that sort of pivotal milestone 2 weeks ago when I hit tier 500, which you mentioned earlier was a turning point for you. So up until that point, I'd say about 90-95% of my designs were my own. I knew, I was thinking ahead, I knew that I'd eventually need to start outsourcing some of the workload, because the amount of daily uploads that you get, there's no way I could do that all myself. So in the run up to hitting 500, I did some testing of different design websites, you know, what worked for me, how I, if I could, what I could use to easily find people, tested out like Fiverr, Upwork. So I used a designer for one or two designs before tier 100, but it was mainly me up until that. Now I've hit 500 and I can do 50 of those a day. I'm testing at the moment. I'm using four separate designers at the same time, nice. Two designs for me. So I've given four designers 10 designs each to do. I'm kind of testing them, see which ones do good quality of work, which ones are going to drop off, and I'm trying to find multiple reliable designers that I can sort of go on, like rely on in the future moving forwards. So I'm definitely looking now for a more sort of collaborative, outsourced approach to merch, whereas before it was just me doing stuff in Photoshop. And yeah,
that's all. I love the approach of giving them the 10 designs. That's, I mean, Shannon, you have a little bit more experience in that than I have, but I found, you know, you go through 10 designers and you find one that is just, they're going to take care of you, and you take care of them. And that's the only way to find it. It's just a numbers game. Is that how you found people, Shannon?
I have, yeah, I mean, they use, so we used to have like a spreadsheet of just like all these design ideas that we would just, their name was next to that designer. They'd select their name and then they'd go to the next one and select the design, put their name there, and go through all these different design research ideas that we had done. Now they go into MerchAlong, software that helps with the research portion, or at least organizing the research that we have done, and they select it, and then they just keep going down that list and doing designs and uploading it, and then it just, yeah, that's kind of how our process works. Does that answer your question?
I think maybe we're focusing more on like the finding people. So I don't know where you're finding candidates, Greg, but if you haven't tried Behance, like cold emailing people whose portfolios you like on Behance is actually awesome. Uh-huh. It's not a commercial site. That's a tip that one of our past guests, Blake, had. Yeah, it's really cool because you're like, hey, I love, because you can look at their style and you can see if they're doing shirts and you can sort by country. But I like Behance for that. I've heard people have success with onlinejobs.ph. Mm-hmm. Upwork is good for just the validation that they're going to take care of you. And then my price point per design worked out to be like between $3 and $4. What was your approach to finding people?
Question directed at me?
Yeah, Greg. Yep. What are you doing right now?
So I found a forum post somewhere on the recesses of the internet, and it basically had a template job posting that you could use, you know, just and that was saying to aim for, I think it was saying to aim for $2.50. So I put this up on Upwork. So I'm using Upwork at the moment. I tried onlinejobs.ph and I didn't use them, and I can tell you about that later if you want. But yeah, at the moment I'm using Upwork. The designers that I had in the past before I got to tier 500, I ended up having to pay them $3. But now I've managed to get that down to $2.50. So that's my price point at the moment.
Dang, I got to take some negotiating from you. I thought I was good. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm getting hosed.
The quality is good. I mean, the designs, I'm making sales off the designs already. I've only been using them, you know, for the last week or so. And I'm getting proof of return. I tried using Fiverr in the past, but like, obviously, you know, the the price is in the name. The minimum cost you can get there is $5. And usually because people put their like lowest quality of work at a $5 mark, and then you're expected to pay $10, $15. So I quickly moved away from Fiverr. I just found that if you use Upwork, promise them the potential of ongoing work, people are happy to work around the $2.50, $3 mark per design. Yeah. How about, are you paying like $3-$4 as well, or?
Yeah. So I have,
is going to be embarrassing for me. You guys are going to tell me how much money you save, but go for it, Shannon.
Yeah. So I pay, $5 for three designs.
Wow.
To one of my designers. And then a couple of other ones I have on an hourly basis at $2 an hour, and I figured I wanted to kind of see the difference, like if there was one, and I found that it works pretty well. I mean, it's like, you know, they're able to, I asked them to put 10 designs, you know, upload 10 designs. I want 10 designs a day, basically, uh-huh, from each one. And so, you know, the hourly ones, they get all 10 designs done pretty much in eight, maybe 10 hours. So it's, you know, it's not bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like in the context of paying that much. And I think Shannon, you have a pretty good philosophy, and I try to do it as well, where you take care of people, and they when you hire your team, they've got flexibility to work when they want. It's all about respect. It's about treating people like a valued part of their team. And just because they earn a little bit less, you know, we take care of in other ways and try to make sure they have balance too. So it's not a design sweatshop by any means.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I've been on the receiving end of a bad employer, so I'm very conscious going into this entrepreneur lifestyle that I don't want to be that sort of person myself. Hmm. And one of the things you said is you're not sort of chasing people, and they've got their own time to get things around. That's why I'm using the multiple designers approach, because I don't want to be relying on one designer, getting anxious, chasing them all the time. You know, I'd rather have four different people working on designs for me and having a steady flow of things coming in more directions. You know, it's a win-win situation.
I think that's smart. So you've been, I want to ask you a little bit about, you seem to have like found some success and you're really hitting your stride with Merch by Amazon. Is there anything that has frustrated you with e-commerce, or any stories you can share about things that went south and what you learned from them, or, you know, in your Shopify journey, just things that you wish were different or things that you're going to do differently in your own business?
Sure. I mean, let's not jump ahead of ourselves. I've definitely not found huge success with Merch by Amazon. I still relatively feel like a newbie. I feel like I'm on that turning point now where things are going to turn around, but in terms of results up until here, it's been pretty basic. Frustrating things, I'll start with Merch by Amazon. The thing that really frustrated me when I started using Merch by Amazon is the lack of data, the lack of analytics. Now, I've got a background in marketing. I'm very data-driven. I like to see what's worked in the past, why it's worked, and I can replicate that, you know, moving forwards. So with Merch by Amazon, I'd ideally like to see the exact keywords that people are searching that are landing them on my shirts, and just stuff like that. I wanted to be able to see what's worked in the past so I can replicate that. But you don't really have that keyword search data as far as I'm aware. You know, I can't see that this shirt sold because someone searched for this term and they found it, you know, because I sometimes put two or three keywords in my listings and they could have searched for either one of those three keywords to find me. So I want to really be able to nail stuff down with Amazon. I don't feel like you have that analytic support. Don't know if you agree with that or not.
Okay, so you would love, if you're a numbers guy and you have that background, you would love Etsy, because Etsy not only has, they tell you, you can go, you see exactly what the customer is. You can go look at everything they've favorited. You can look at other shops. You can look at what other shops have sold. Every time you get a sale, you get told whether it was driven from, like, where the traffic source is from, the demographic of the customer. And you can, I just learned that you can link up Google Analytics to your Etsy shop. So then you get the whole GA suite too. And actually you can do Google Analytics on your Redbubble account, and maybe a couple others too. But if that is one of your strengths, you might want to do a parallel store on Etsy because, not to mention, I was doing some research and only 15% of people on Etsy are paying for promoted listings. So that market is untapped. Okay. I think you might be able to do well if you can wrap your head around the numbers and figure it out.
Yeah, that sounds like music to my ears. That's exactly what I want from a print on demand supplier. You know, I'm used to using YouTube and Google Analytics and being able to tell exactly who's watching my videos, how old they are, if they came through Google, YouTube search, an external like social network, and I just can't get any of that merch by Amazon. So if that's something I can get with Etsy, I think that might be my next port of call after I scale out from merch by Amazon.
Yeah, you're right about Amazon being like, it's almost like we just make designs and we just throw them into this big ditch and then they're just like, okay, we'll see. And then like at the end of the day, you know, some person just comes and is like, okay, here's your money, here's what sold, and you're like, I guess this is good, I'll keep throwing more. You're so right, it's hard.
That's exactly what I feel like.
So are you doing, what about your Shopify store? How is that going? And are you in Printful? Is that what you said or something?
Yeah. So all of my Shopify stores are down now. I think my last Shopify store I was messing around with, I closed that down in maybe June 2017. A lot of people find my channel because of my old Shopify videos are still floating around. So I did a lot of how-to videos. But yeah, I've really sort of moved away from Shopify for the time being. I always plan on going back and setting my own store up when I get the chance. But yeah, I'm not really doing it at the moment. I feel like with Shopify, you do, like, people try and pretend that you don't, but I feel like you do need a lot of initial investment. I feel like, because I'm a numbers guy as well, there's a lot of data I think you need to collect before you can really start making profit. You need to be driving ads and seeing which ads work, which don't, you know, the sort of copy and ads, the images that you use, what your target audience is. Is it 45-year-old men in America or is it 16-year-old girls in Japan? You know, this is a thing you learn, but you only learn it after time and after you've got past that initial threshold. So I'd like to, and also I'm very focused on building brands now, so I'd like to build a brand first in the future and then build a Shopify store to support that brand rather than getting the store first and trying to build a brand after. So that makes sense.
That is super smart. They're getting me for $29 a month. And people who follow our income reports see that every month my Shopify store just has zero sold, because I don't have the expertise to drive traffic to it. The only reason I still have it is because it connects with T-Launch, who fulfills on other platforms. So
okay.
I'm with you, man. I think Shopify has great marketing and they have a lot of good blog content, but you're right. You can't just throw up a store with no traffic and expect it to work. And $29 a month is a lot for a subscription.
It is.
If you're just starting out, that's
starting.
Beat in my butt, you know.
It's kind of like a modern get rich quick scheme, I think. The way a lot of people are presenting it. I've done a video on Shopify guru scammers because a lot of people they're selling you this dream that it's super easy to get up and running with it, and you don't need any previous e-commerce experience or previous marketing experience, but you do. You know, if anyone could do this, everyone would be doing it. And like you said, Shopify has got great marketing. It's got a great product. It's also got a great affiliate program. So a lot of people are incentivized to say how good Shopify is and not really give much evidence to support that, but to sort of bang something shiny in front of you.
Yeah.
And it's working.
Yeah. You can't have a business without sales, and you can't have sales without some marketing. If you don't know how you're going to market it, you're not going to do anything, and you're going to go crazy, and it's just going to be a disaster. So
exactly. and that's why I love Merch by Amazon, because the marketing's free. They do it for you. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, go ahead, Shannon. You're good.
As you continue on with Merch by Amazon, where do you see yourself? You know, you're saying you're going to make a brand and turn into, you know, do the Shopify thing. So are you going to expand anywhere else or do anything? I saw something about Zazzle on your YouTube channel.
That was an old review video I did when I was deciding whether to do a Shopify Printful store or use Zazzle. So that's not really on my radar. Merch by Amazon. I really see Merch by Amazon becoming a side income. I don't see it becoming my primary focus of income, but I can see a lot of potential to scale with Merch by Amazon and to also to automate. I follow a guru in the emergency management space, and it looks like he pretty much outsources like 95% of the work with Merch by Amazon. So I really want to get to that point where, you know, I'm tier 2,000, 4,000. I've got so many shirts and I've got all these designers every day, like making designs for me. And I might even have someone uploading the designs for me, you know, it might even go to that level. I can just really see the potential of it being a residual source of income that if you outsource it intelligently, you probably won't take that much of your time up. I'm all about, you know, I've done the stereotypical reading the 4-hour work week and the rich dad, poor dad. That was my rite of passage into this lifestyle, you know.
Welcome, one of us.
I'm sure we can all relate. So that whole trading time for money and moving away from that, that's very much what I try and do these days. And I'm trying to build sort of systems around that concept. And I think Merch by Amazon is an amazing way of doing that. And then I also, in addition to that, plan on using what I learned from Merch by Amazon to then go to other print-on-demand suppliers as well, platforms as well, which I think you mentioned earlier. And I think a lot of other people, that's their long-term goal. I don't see much print-on-demand being my whole life, but it's definitely going to be a big chunk of it, and then additional.
Uh-oh.
Greg, you still there? We got you.
Greg.
Oh, no.
Don't leave us, Greg.
Oh, no.
Oh no, what happened?
That's right, we'll keep it up for a little bit when he comes back. So I think it's cool that he's looking to expand. I mean, it's not planned, but it's kind of a perfect Greg, you back?
Oh yeah, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, sorry about that. I don't know if it's my end. Did you catch the last bit of that?
No, you kind of cut out saying that you didn't think that you liked expanding to other platforms, and you don't think that that's something a lot of people are looking to do.
No. I said I think, yeah, other people. I think that's a lot of people's long-term goal, is to use Merch by Amazon and then build these additional presence on these additional stores as well. I see myself jumping on that bandwagon and giving that a go.
Cool. Are you using any tools right now, Greg, to, you know, make your business automate or make it more efficient or anything like that? Or
I am, yeah. And something out there? I'll run through what I'm using, but I'm well aware you've been doing this for longer than me, so I'd be really keen to hear what you're using as well. So my workflow at the moment is I start all my research in Merch Informer. I'm sure you've all heard of that. I'm using that for keyword research, trending research. When I'm doing my listings, I'm using a Chrome extension called Merch Buddy to speed up the upload process, just really quick to copy and paste your descriptions. And I've just downloaded a tool the other day. Let me just hover over it, see what it's called, called Merch Tools. Someone said that there's a quick editor in there that allows you to go in and change your listings really quickly. I've not actually tried that out yet, but I'm going to start using Merch Tools a bit more moving forwards. How about you three? Does that line up with what you're using at all, or is there any differences?
So Shannon, this one is for you, because this is near and dear to your life the last 6 months.
So as we've grown, we were using like Google Drive and just a Google Sheet to keep all track of things, and it turned into a disaster, because once you have 2,500 or 3,000 plus designs, it's out of control and it's hard to manage. So we started building a software program called Merch Along that allows you to create listings. And that's a listing is like a combination of your design or design variations. So different sizes plus the original file can be uploaded to it. And then you can create your content there. And it's just everything's organized, easy to search for and find. And then it helps with team accountability. So you can add designers, managers, researchers, content people, and they all have different accounts. And then we also created like a keyword, like ways to make it easier or faster to make your content. So you just pop in your keywords and then it automatically generates your bullet points, title, everything. So
it's, oh, wow.
And then the last thing, the biggest thing, is the uploader. And that's where you just click and it, boom, shoots it out to all these different websites. Uh-huh. And like not Redbubble yet, we're almost done with that, but right now it's TeePublic, Spreadshirt, and Threadless. And then there's a Merch by Amazon is there as well. And it's just a individual uploader because in their FAQ, they say, we don't allow bulk uploading to our thing. So we're like, okay, we won't bulk upload. We'll just individually upload. And that's
so is this all within the tool that you mentioned? Is this all one package? What was it called? Sorry. Merch Along.
It's called Merch Along. Yeah. Merch Along.
Oh, okay.
So it's been a lot of fun building, and we're only getting started. It's just,
this is your tool.
Yeah. Shannon's
been like the last 6 months, I've been asking Shannon about what he's doing in merch, and he's been, his team's running, but then he's also managing the development of this software. And then I'm lucky because I get to play beta tester, guinea pig, and I get to break stuff on it and tell him when it breaks and help him make things better. So I was the same thing. Like, I use Google Drive. I remember I went to a coffee shop on a Saturday. I built this mega multi-spreadsheet database, and I was trying to make V lookups and train my VA on it, and it was an absolute disaster. Once you get to 500 designs, once you start putting them on Redbubble, once you want to take a design and you from merch and put it on there, but you don't want to retype the keywords and you don't want to open up the listing and copy paste it, I'm not shilling his software. I wouldn't if I didn't use it. It's helped me quite a bit, especially the auto uploading, because that's a big barrier. And it saves me a lot of money. That was, that's all I can say about that. It saves me a lot of money.
Well, if you ever want a video review done, Shannon, just fire me an email. You know where I am.
Yes. Cool. All right, so, thanks, man.
But yeah, you asked about tools. We did an episode on 25 tools, and I'm looking at the list. Like, the top three that I dig are, I run a lot of things through Slack with my team for just quick communication. I use this video recorder called Loom, which is free to just fire Shannon bug reports and fire my VA's training, because I find it's easier to record my screen than type it out. Those are the big ones for me. The other ones are kind of more in depth, but, and then Merch Along covers a lot of things for me.
Cool. Sounds really interesting.
Yeah. And Merch Informer we use on a daily basis as well. So,
yeah, I mean, since they released that trends area of Merch Informer, they won me over with that. It's driven quite a lot of sales for me. So I'm finding it really useful. Cool. I gave Merch Designer a little spin the other day. I think I did like 30 variations of a design in 30 minutes. So that's probably going to be something I'm using in the future, just to make quick variations of a design.
That's a good idea to flood little niches and stuff. If you get a random one that's selling, just put a vintage look on it. You know, you can mark it up 30 different ways. And once you have the slots, just, it's a big test lab.
Yeah, I mean, I found a niche a couple of weeks ago. I had less than 100 shirts in it. So the 30 shirts I made were for that niche. And I've been making consistent sales every day since that with just the variations of the same thing. Yeah, so that approach definitely is something that's worked for me. And I'm going to be hammering that in the future for sure.
Do you put all of those shirts under one brand, or are you white labeling or ghost branding each one as a competitor to each one?
I find the keyword and I make sure the keyword's in the brand name. I'll maybe do two or three variations. So, you know, say I do 30 shirts, 10 shirts will have the one brand name, 10 will have the other, 10 will have the other. And the brand name will always have the keyword in it, but maybe it'll be at the start for 10, maybe in the middle, and then at the end, you know. Nice. So I'll just play around a little bit.
Smart. Mm-hmm. That's like, I think the best way you can, that's like the best way to do it, I think.
Yeah. Cool. Is that your approach, or have you got any other tips there?
That's pretty much exactly what we're doing. We're just, with the brand name, we make sure that the main keyword is in there. And then if we're going into a niche, we sometimes put all the shirts, depends on how many we're putting in that niche. We group them together a lot of times.
I think if you have one that sells really well, like my best-selling shirt to this day, and most days, sometimes my only selling shirt, it has 16 reviews on it, and it's number one for a niche. So with ones that rank that high or you find one that's standing out, then that's a gateway because you know a lot of people are clicking on it. So I stack similar shirts on that because people are already clicking on it and that's an opportunity to see your other ones. So if you find a shirt that's a high seller, then I piggyback off that brand.
Yeah, that's definitely something I'm doing moving forwards. Like, it's funny, we're talking about brand ties. So when I first started doing this, my brand name was Start Starting Up. It was for every show I did, it was just Start Starting Up, the name of my YouTube channel. And I found this new niche with less than 100 listings, and I did shirts and put the title as Start Starting Up, and I just had the keyword in the description. And I saw other shirts, and like, I was typing the keyword in, and I saw other shirts showing up above mine. And the only difference was that they had the keyword in the brand name. So, you know, I made a few new ones using actually the keyword in the brand name. And I saw how much of a difference putting your keyword in the brand name has. Like, I think I had to learn it myself, but once I did learn that lesson, like, yeah, I'm moving forward. That's always going to be a keyword in the brand name.
Nice.
Smart. Good.
So with your merch journey, you're moving into 500, however you decide to approach that, I want to follow up with you and see how it goes. And I'll be following your channel to see that. I mean, once you build, obviously you have some goals in your personal life with getting your degree and everything, but I think we'd all be kidding ourselves if we weren't in this and didn't want to make a full-time income from it, especially something that can be passive. So I guess if you were to reach that level of success and have that journey, what would you know, is there a point where you stop and you try to sell a company? Do you think you would just keep experimenting, and what would you do?
It's an interesting question. I think it's a pretty open question as well. I think there's a lot of variables there. I mean, I'm studying entrepreneurship at the moment in university, so I'm learning all about exit plans and financial projections and all that sort of stuff. I'm also a very big advocate of multiple sources of income. You know, so I mentioned earlier that I don't see merch being my only source of income, but that's purely because I'm at the mindset that you should have more than one source of income. So, I mean, if I can get merch to a point where it is relatively passive, a lot of it's automated, but it's making me money every month, I'm not going to get rid of that. That's making me money every month. So that's going to be an income source in addition to other income sources I'm looking to build up. Shannon's doing the software as a service direction. That's something I've just started as well, just started building my own platform. So I'm looking to go on that route too. I'm doing the personal brand for YouTube. So that's great for affiliate marketing, public speaking engagement and future leads through that. So I see myself building, you know, a few things alongside each other and building these multiple sources of income together. I'm definitely in the entrepreneurship lifestyle for good. It depends on the type of company I build and the lifespan and the level of passivity or residual income potential it's got. That's going to be the determining factor of whether it's a temporary business with an exit plan or it's going to be a business that I sort of look to have for a long time. Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't give you a simple answer. But
that's exactly, no, that's a good answer. Anyone who has a succinct answer to that might not have thought it through yet because there's still a lot going on. There's a lot to decide. With your software, that's a whole nother ball game. Would you mind commenting on that and like that learning journey and what it does and what you're looking to do with it?
Sure. Yeah. So I, as part of my degree, you know, they encourage that you sort of build a business idea and then nurture that idea through studying it. And I started my university degree in September. I'd just come out of doing all these Shopify experiments and running these online businesses. And I knew that I definitely wanted to build a business during my time at uni. And through my experience, I learned how sort of lucrative and how much potential there is in a software as a service business. So I knew that was the route I wanted to take. So I'm starting to build a platform now that's going to provide help and education for people who want to create alternate sources of income for themselves. So people who don't want to just rely on the 9-to-5, they want either another source of income, multiple sources of income, or they want to leave the 9-to-5 altogether. I want to make a central, like a hub, a platform, an app where people can land on, get ideas for different ways of making money, get education, maybe get some user guides, get some tuition, and basically just the landing point of the internet of where to get ideas and where to get education of making different sorts of income. And the plan is to build up the YouTube channel, the personal brand, to be able to direct people to the software when the software is ready. Yeah. So I really just want to help people make money and not have to rely on a boss, you know, for the rest of their lives.
That is an awesome goal. I'll say you might have heard of it. The one resource I have for finding other people struggling to build something, I really like the Indie Hackers community and podcast. It is a lot of people doing SaaS startups and asking questions like, how do I get my first 1,000 users? And all of, Shannon, I shouldn't be talking. This is your time. Would you agree with that? Or what would you say to Greg? I mean, you've learned a ton over the last couple months about this whole world.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my biggest thing was just like getting something out there, like get your MVP out there as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Because I know there's like a million things we want to do with our software, but I also know that thinking about that is just going to destroy like our momentum or any momentum that we're trying to build. So like that's our biggest thing. It's just trying to get it something. There you go. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, nice. That book is awesome.
Yeah. For those that are listening. Yeah. Greg just held up the Lean Startup book right in front of our eyes. So that's an excellent book to read for sure. So you get it. I mean, you already, I think, know that.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm very lucky through my degree. They try and build a network of entrepreneurs that you can talk to and ask for sort of guidance and stuff. And we luckily have a few SaaS entrepreneurs on that network they build up. And they've all said exactly the same thing you just said. Don't, you know, that whole striving for perfection thing is going to stop you actually achieving anything. Get something out, you know, probably before you'd be comfortable getting it out, to get that minimum viable product out, test it and see if it works and then work from there. So that's exactly the route I'm looking to go down with what I'm doing. And I'm really happy to hear that you suggested and recommended the same
yeah, route. And to be honest, like, I was nervous several times when launching a new feature, a new part of the software at the beginning, because I was like, but it doesn't work the way it's supposed to yet. It's like, it's not perfect. It's not even perfect. It's just like, I'm not sure if it even will work for everybody. And so it's just like, but what I realized is we would release it and then it would work for some people. And then the other people it didn't work for, it would take, we do a little communication and a day or two later, we'd have it fixed and good for them anyway. So, I think we're constantly listening to our clients and everyone, the user base, and trying to make sure that everyone's happy with it working and make sure that we're there for them when something does come up. And so I think that mitigates a lot of the fear and helps with moving forward faster.
I personally feel like that relationship with the customer is so important, and I think it's even more important in 2018. I think customers are getting disillusioned and losing faith in these big faceless brands, and they're getting drawn towards personal brands and people they know and can relate to. And I think that approach to business, where you are communicating with your customers, asking them what's working well for them, what they'd like to improve, and then working from that feedback, it just seems like a much better way of approaching a business, you know. And I feel like your customers are going to thank you for that, you know, for taking their opinions on board and building something around their feedback. Yeah.
I agree. They'll thank you by either verbally thanking or just staying on as a client, you know. And if you don't, if you don't listen to them, you'll find that people will be, I think, dropping off. And maybe that's a key indicator of making an effort to listen better if you start to lose clients, you know. So
that is going to be a fun journey for you.
Yeah.
That is, like, I can tell that with just the way you talked about analytics and making changes and experimenting and making decisions about what to do next. Like, it's been just fascinating checking in with Shannon as he does it. I haven't even jumped into that yet. I can tell that's going to get your mind turned and you're going to like it.
Yeah, I'm excited to listen to hear see how it goes for you and you know.
Yeah, vice versa. I mean, I'm really interested to sort of stay in touch and just to keep tabs on how things are going for you. Maybe you can give me details after this, or if this channel is the best way of doing that. But yeah, I'm interested in your journey. And I think it's really great to talk to people same way with this podcast and talk to people with the same interests as you and people that are pursuing the same goals for sure. So I'm really, really interested to hear what you're doing.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, it's all about like helping people. It's the reason we, you know, at first we weren't even going to open this up to the community, but then I was like, it works great for us. And I know a lot of other people are having the exact same problems or running the same issues with building their POD businesses that we're having. So why don't we help other people at the same time? And so, anyway, I'll definitely be in touch with you and share with you whatever you want to know. And
sure.
I'm excited to stay in touch with you or like see your journey as well. So cool.
Great stuff.
So Greg, for people to follow along on your Merch by Amazon journey, I think we have a lot of listeners who are definitely in the same boat, growing it, like, you know, trying to get over the, there's more competition. Is it still worth it? I think people following your journey would be really helpful for a lot of folks, especially as you grow it and with your focus on brands and strategy. So where should people go find you and connect?
Sure thing. Yeah. You know, I've mentioned it a few times already in this podcast. I'm in love with YouTube. So you can find me on my YouTube channel, Start Starting Up. So youtube.com/startstartingup. I've just recently branched into Instagram as well. So if you use that more than YouTube, you can find me on Instagram at Start Starting Up as well. And I try to give a honest, walk through my experiences, things that have gone well for me, things that have gone bad, and just to give people like a realistic expectation of what to expect if they're getting into this stuff. Like I said, a lot of people like to just give you the good stuff and tell you everything's going to be easy. And I try to be as sort of honest and transparent as possible.
I'm going to go watch your videos about the Shopify scammers and the gurus.
Yeah, leave me a comment.
I'll like and subscribe.
And share.
And share, of course. All right, Greg.
Yeah, I'm going to subscribe to you guys as well. I'll be following your journey.
Cool. Thank you, man. And we're having fun.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on the show today, Greg. We really appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Take care, man. Talk soon.
See ya.
Cool. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us an honest review wherever you find your content. As always, you can find us online at merchlifestyle.com.